Welcome to Smart Living, Episode 7. Sitting next to me is this amazing woman, Christina Estes, who you may know. She's been a local reporter in the Valley for over 20 years, and she has finally lived her dream of writing her book. She is now an author and has written this fabulous book called Off the Air, which I have read from the beginning to the end, including the acknowledgments. So it's a murder mystery. It's all about things that take place in Phoenix, but it definitely gives you an insight look into what it was like to be a reporter, right?
Yes.
So welcome to the show, Christina.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. You're doing an awesome job. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. And also we'll do a little money saving tip. Christina's going to share with us how she saves money on Mexican food. And I'm going to give you a little tip on window cleaner, but let's get into this book. So Off the Air, I have known you. And by the way, full disclosure, Christina and I worked together when we were young little chickens over at ABC 15. Ambitious women we were too back then. And I have known for many years that you've been wanting to write a book. So I know myself, along with many people in the journalism community, are just so proud of you because you finally wrote this book. So what made you decide to write a book for people who don't know you and a murder mystery book at that?
So the reason you know is it's now coming to be 15 years ago, I said publicly to certain people that I was writing a book, or I'm going to write a book, and you apparently have a really good memory. Most people don't know that.
I've known that forever.
Yeah, and so I thought, oh my gosh, I'm a reporter and I write every day, so how hard can it be to write a book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you finally got out.
Yeah, it was hard. Mm-hmm, so hard. It took a lot of starting and stopping and starting and stopping and a ton of rejection. And I went years without writing. And finally, at some point, I said, either do it or shut up, you know, and this sort of cloak of seriousness came over me. And when it did, I got really focused and prioritized and said no to a lot of other things that I would have maybe have liked to have done or wanted to do so that I could focus on finishing this and reaching this point.
That is so great. Okay, really quick, I'm having a little technical issue. I forgot to start this camera, so I'm not even going to try and pretend. So let's just hit record here and let's continue. Hey. So that's great that you've got that finally written. I'm super excited. But I have so many questions about the book itself, and I don't want to give it away because I did read the book, and I know who the murderer is, but we're not going to say. But so Jolene is our main character here, right? And she's a local Valley reporter. Can you tell us a little bit about the book without giving it totally away?
Like, absolutely. Okay. If I can't, I'm not a very good author, am
right,
I?
Right. Then I'd be like, who really wrote the book?
So Off the Air introduces Jolene Garcia. She is a reporter here in Phoenix, Arizona. She's trying to cover real news in a society that's obsessed with reels and clicks. When a controversial radio talk show host dies, her bosses are ecstatic because she had his last interview. So they think, oh, they've got the advantage. And they do, but not for long.
Right.
Because national media descend on Arizona like they like to do.
Yes, they do. And take everything from us.
And they show up with bigger budgets. They get better scoops. And she ends up fighting for her job and her life.
Yeah, she does. It was a fantastic book. But so one of the things that I thought was really great about your book that makes it fun is that you made it very localized. You referenced so many wonderful local businesses that serve this community in so many great ways. I mean, it was intentional.
Absolutely. Yes. Every place I chose, thank you for noticing. I mean, this book is set in Phoenix, and it's absolutely a love letter to Phoenix and local news. Not like 16-year-old head over heels first love thing, but more of a we've been together a while and we know each other thing. So every place that I chose had special meaning. Harlow's Cafe in Tempe and Rito's Mexican. Those are two places that two of my favorite photographers introduced me to early on here. Chicago Hamburger Company. I think you know the owner,
Bob. Oh, yes,
Bob.
We know Bob. If you haven't been to Chicago Hamburger Company, you guys need to go. This guy is a wonderful, part of our community, and he gives so much, and it's such a fun place to eat, especially when the teams are winning with baseball in Chicago.
Yes.
Like, when they're in the World Series and all that was a big time. So that was fantastic that you referred that. But besides referring to a lot of local businesses, you also referred to a lot of local people who work in journalism in this book, too.
Okay, hold up. It's fiction.
Okay. Okay.
It's fiction.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But absolutely. There, for example, is a consultant whose name is Shelley Munro Hammett.
Spelled M-U-N-R-O. I'm in the book. Which is so great.
So I do. I mean, lot of the names, of course, are intentional also because I want to acknowledge people who have played a a role in where I am today. And I know you loved Bob Sullivan when he was our news director. And so my news director is named Bob.
I know.
And I told him it's only him if he wants it to be him.
Right. And he would love it. I'm so glad you referenced him. And it was so great because like the cringing and like some of the reference actually really referred to him. But he was such a great boss.
Absolutely.
And he really is truly was about journalism. So he led us all very well. So I'm glad you referenced him. Okay. So when it comes to the other book, I wanted to ask you things because I'm very admiring of people who are writers. Because it's something that I'm not good at. So that's why I admire people who do it.
Neither was I. So that's why it took 15 years.
But that's all right. So when I'm reading the book, I'm looking at all the things about like the flow of the book and how mm-hmm. you read the book or like, you know, you reference certain things. And this is how I was like, I know you don't like saying this, but you're quick-witted. Your mind moves fast and Jolene's mind moved fast. So it's like she's talking to someone, but then she's referencing something in her head. Like it was something where it was like a quick word where she was like, no, he's a murderer. But, you know, you're not saying it to that person.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Or she, you know, may not be the murderer or whatever the case may be there. So when you're writing a book, one of the things that fascinates me is that you're able to describe things so, like, I can visualize it in my head. Hmm. So I know this is a weird question,
okay?
And I hope it makes sense. But how do you, like, so if I'm going to describe something to you through words, I struggle with that. But words on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. But words, like if I said, okay, so Christina looks absolutely stunning today. Her hair is flowing. It's beautiful. And these are words you write down, but it's different than when you read it. But you can describe scripture. Are you following me here? Because you look like, I feel like I'm just not going nowhere with this.
No, but you just described something. So I don't know what your question is.
Well, but in a book, like to describe a scene through words,
yeah.
I think that's a gift for somebody. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, so how do you do that? Like, mm-hmm. you see something in your head, and you're able to write it so everyone else can see the things that's in your head. Does that make sense?
Because it's in your head, and you're just trying to get what's in your head
on a piece of paper.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that's it. And it's not like, Daphne, it's not like you sit down and you write 300 pages that are flawless.
Right,
oh, my
right.
gosh. No. There's a curse word, but it starts with an S-H. And it ends with T-T-Y. And people always say your first draft is your
right.
first draft.
Right.
And you have to go through.
Back and improve.
Yeah. I mean, everybody does. Great writers, like really accomplished writers. They're not just
okay.
banging it out in a week, you know?
Right, okay. And that's kind of where yeah. I was getting to. But that's the gift. I get it. But so what you're saying is that it's not like that, Daphne. It's not like how we're on TV and we just look perfect. There was an enormous amount of preparation that goes behind the scenes right. to get it there. And the same thing with you. So you have written many additions to this book.
Yes, I revised it many, many times,
okay.
for sure.
And are you pleased with the final copy?
I am, mm-hmm. absolutely. That's supposed to be the answer, but here's what I discovered.
Okay.
Like, I'll never be 100% satisfied
okay.
because you're always improving.
Mm-hmm.
So this was turned into my publisher a year ago.
Okay.
So in a year, I've written more and I've learned more, and so I could look at this now and be like, ooh, coulda, right. woulda, shoulda, but what wise authors tell me and publishers and bookstore owners is you really shouldn't be saying that publicly, which I just did. And, and also you will always be improving. If you're not always yeah. improving, then you're not doing it right.
Right. And that is one thing that I know about authors. They're always going to like writing groups and writing sessions to constantly improve their writing, even after they are an established, you know, published book writer. So now this book, we're not going to look at the sales. We're not going to look at anything. But if people are interested in buying it, where can they purchase it? I know they can get it on Amazon.
It is available wherever books are sold.
Okay.
Across the country and also at libraries. So
okay.
you got a library card, you contact your library and check it out.
Right. And you can get it for free
yes.
and just rent it
well,
out.
Well, technically our taxes pay for libraries, but I shouldn't be Debbie Downer. It doesn't cost you additional.
Right. Additional
I love libraries.
So. Yes, they're fantastic. Okay. So this book also already won a prize too.
That's actually, so I received the Tony Hillerman Prize, and that's how I got my publishing contract.
Okay, that's
yeah.
what you did. That's fantastic.
But since you're trying to be helpful and plug me, here's what I will say. Yeah. Thank you, Shonda Rhimes, Year of Yes, Chapter 10.
yes, 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 the year that Christina says yes.
Good Morning America chose Off the Air as a buzz pick.
Oh my God.
So,
that's
yeah.
fantastic.
So, I got to hold up my book and I got to plug Phoenix to a national audience. It was pretty
this
cool.
This is so great. And this is also giving us national coverage, too. So,
yeah.
Christina, thank you so much for, first of all, not moving like you decided the first 3 years that you were going to be
yeah.
here and staying and becoming a great part of our community.
Thank you.
You are huge for this community. And the fact that you've written this book, you've helped our economy, you've helped everything here. So, I appreciate you, and I'm so proud of you for accomplishing it. So it's called Off the Air, Christina Estes. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about some money-saving stuff, right? Because
I'm going to ask me about toilet paper?
No, I'm not going to ask you about toilet paper. I'm going to ask you about...
I do stock up on toilet paper.
Yeah, you do. I know. And I actually buy... Talking about toilet paper, we'll just digress for a second. So one of the things I discovered about toilet paper is bamboo. Have you ever heard of bamboo toilet paper?
It does not sound soft.
Oh my God, but it does. I know, you'd be like, ooh, that's scratchy on my booty. But it's not scratchy on your booty at all. It's so soft.
But it's biodegradable or something,
yeah,
right?
It's good for your septic tank. Because a lot of these biodegradable toilet paper, it's not like, it's not even a sheet of paper. You wipe and it's like, the stuff is on your hands. Sorry not to get too graphic. But bamboo toilet paper is very well priced. And it definitely lives up to the claim. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. But let me ask you a question. So, Christina, I know you love Mexican food. So tell me, number one is, without putting you on the spot, can you give me like maybe your top three Mexican food restaurants and how?
Top Mexican food restaurants?
Yeah, three in the Valley.
Oh, well, for sure, Ritos. They have the best burritos, right? Ritos, mm-hmm. Ritos. Mi Patio was the first place in 7th Avenue Osborne, the first restaurant that I went to when I came here. So that will always have a special
place. And they have a great happy hour.
Oh, look at you. Mm-hmm. And I will also say that Food City.
Yes, this is how she saves money.
I love Food City chips and salsa, and I made it easy. My main character loves it, too, because they make in-store. The tortillas and the chips are made in-store. Food City is part of the Bash's family.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Which is local, part of Bash's store and AJ's Fine Food. Food City is under that umbrella, so their chips and salsa are made in-store, and I love them.
Yeah, and people don't realize this, but actually some of the Food City grocery stores actually have a tortilla factory inside of them. So they're making the exact same type of restaurant, you know, the greasy kind, thick, homemade, floury kind tortilla
chips. That you pick up warm.
Yeah, they make it there, and it's so cheap. So Christina, that is a great smart shopping tip. I love it. Okay. So I have to throw a little something in the mix, and I always like to do things that are a little bit complex because I know that some of you listen to this podcast and you don't watch it, but trust me, if you follow me on social media, I will definitely have a video of this. But
are you going to spray me in the face?
No, I'm not going to spray you. But this is window cleaner. So in our house here, which you can see, we have a lot of windows here. So we got new windows. And so they're like, you cannot use Windex on these windows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're so fancy, huh?
No, well, I guess it's just not good. It's chemicals, and so it leaves a film over time. So using this window cleaner, which costs you practically nothing to make, is actually the better way to do it because it won't leave your windows with a film. And here's what it's made with. So you have 1 tablespoon of Dawn that you put in a spray bottle, a used spray bottle. Then you also do 1-to-1 equal ratio of vinegar, which I have here, and I know some of you can't see, and then distilled water. Boom. So 1-to-1 ratio, so half and half. And then 1 teaspoon of Dawn, I may say tablespoon. And then you stir it up, and this is your window cleaner. I'm telling you, it leaves no streaks. It costs practically nothing, and you can make it anytime. Everyone has these ingredients at home.
Why Dawn?
Dawn, so that's a good question. Okay.
I'm a reporter.
Right. I know, right? Okay, so the reason why is because Dawn apparently has some sort of formula in it where it takes, like, oil and grease off. So I guess it was discovered there was some oil spill and like all the animals.
I've seen that video. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so it was Dawn that I guess got it
that
off.
Got the oil off of their feathers. And
right. Yeah. So that's why Dawn. There you go. I bet you didn't think I knew the answer to that.
Wow.
But I do.
And I forgot about that video. So thank you.
Yes. Well, listen, you guys, all the information about the podcast, where you can get a hold of Christina, where you can buy the book, and also the recipe to this is all going to be on my blog at smartshopperdaphne.com. And if you want to follow me on social media, that's also at smartshopperdaphne. So that's where you can find me. That's where you can find this podcast and everything. So I guess that's really just about it. I mean, I guess we can wrap it up at this point.
Great job. Thank you for inviting me. You're doing awesome. I'm really proud of you, too.
And I'm really proud of you, too. Shonda Rhimes, by the way, she keeps on referencing Shonda Rhimes. And I knew this because I saw it in an interview. She's a very famous director, is she?
Oh, my gosh. She's a Shonda. Yes.
Yes.
Funny that you didn't know as much about her as me either. But she's in charge of Shondaland.
Yeah.
So she created
all these shows for ABC.
Oh, my gosh. Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. And now there's something Bridgerton that's like really famous. But she's the creator.
Blowing up. And so
she has blown up.
Yes.
That's past.
Right.
She's still
blown.
The book came out, I want to say like 7 or 8 years ago. But it just came to me a couple of months ago. And it's been life changing.
Right. Yeah. So that year, Shonda Rhimes said yes to everything. And that is when her career really took off.
It's when she felt better about herself. Her career was already, but
But it really blew up after she said yes to everything.
Year
after
of Yes is about saying yes to what made her uncomfortable.
Right.
Not yes to necessarily everything. And it's just, yeah, it transformed her, made her a happier person, a better boss, a better mother, a better everything, in her words.
So here is the core, one core thing of my value system. In order to get comfortable, you have to be uncomfortable. And that's what Shonda Rhimes means. That's exactly what that is.
Yes. Boy, so, have I been uncomfortable. Yeah.
You've done such a good job. Okay, Christina Estes, and you can listen to her. She's still a reporter here in the Valley on local radio. And that's it. So we'll wrap it up. And you guys have a great week. We'll see you next week on Smart Living. Thank you.
I'm Daphne Monroe. You're Smart Talk.